In its quest to provide an open forum for discussion of controversial issues, this station allows hosts and their guests to express themselves without any significant censorship. You're advised that any views expressed by the hosts or their guests are not necessarily the views of Tug Entertainment or its partners.
Welcome to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com. And hosted by Editor-in-Chief of Officer.com and 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Officer Radio is your source for the latest news, trends, and issues facing the law enforcement community. Join us each week as Officer Borelli and his guest examine, dissect, and discuss the issues facing our industry. Call in live and join the conversation to get your voice heard. Now, let's get to it. It's Officer Radio, live with Frank Borelli on Officer.com.
Good day. Welcome to Officer Radio on Officer.com. I'd like to offer special thanks today to LEGear.com for sponsoring the show. They provide gear that makes life easier and helps get the job done. Please visit them online at LEGear.com. That's LEGEAR.com. I'm your host, editor for Officer.com, Frank Borelli. Today we're going to talk to Reverend Frank Rufato about police chaplains. Now, for quite some time, we've had a team of chaplains that write our monthly chaplains column for Officer.com. And yes, we do believe spiritual support is very important, especially for the job we do, and we'll talk about that. I sought out Frank specifically. Actually, I was blessed to just meet Frank quite spontaneously, accidentally, in fact, at a retirement party for another friend of mine, another brother cop. And I found out that Reverend Rufato used to be a police officer. He spent, I believe it was 16 years, we'll check with him, as a police officer, ended up working his way into the Detectives Bureau and became a homicide investigator. And when he left that, he became a reverend. He became a man of the cloth. And we're going to talk with Frank, with Reverend Rufato. We'll try to keep it from being too confusing, as I call him Frank, and he calls me Frank, and we both refer to being Frank. We're talking about some of the things that happened in his career and kind of the goals he has as a police officer.
Six four four six five one nine. If you have a comment, question, observation, or other thought to share, please don't hesitate to dial us up. If for any reason you're uncomfortable calling, feel free to send me an email. And that address is Frank Borelli at officer.com, no dits, dots, dashes, or spaces, FrankBorelli at officer.com. I'll check that as frequently as I can through the show, and we'll reply to any questions that you have as we go. Today's show, like all of them, will be archived on the Officer.com radio page as well as our podcast page. I'm not going to tell you where to find it. If you're listening to the show live, you're on the right page. Just look up on the top of your screen on the blue navigation bar. You'll see the link for Officer.com radio right next to the link for our podcast library. You might want to bookmark that page as some of our past and future shows focused on training issues might serve as good reference material. At least we hope so. The archive shows are also available on iTunes, so you can search us out there to download them. What you need to do, though, is go to the podcast page, find the show date and topic that you're looking for, the topic specifically, and then you go back to iTunes with the date information because they're only listed in iTunes by the date. As you hopefully well know, Officer.com has both a Facebook fan page and a Twitter feed. Any updates we plan for this radio show, scheduled guests, etc., will be posted and tweeted accordingly, posted accordingly on Twitter. I'll never get used to saying tweeted. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. Not only do we appreciate the interaction, but it allows us to serve your information needs better. Use those tools to give us feedback as much as we use them to provide information to you. So with that out of the way, let's get into the show a little bit. Why, number one, And we're going to talk about all this with Reverend Rufato when he comes on the show. Why do cops need special chaplain services? Well, if you're a cop and you don't know why, I'm not sure really we can help you out. Police officers do a highly stressful and, frankly, dangerous job. And, you know, chaplains, ministers, priests, reverends, rabbis, whatever your denomination is, your faith is, your man of the cloth, your spiritual guide, if you will, is there to help ease some of that burden, I guess might be the best way to say it. You talk to them, let them know what's going on with you, what your fears are, what your concerns are. And really, when you think about it, some of the things we do might be morally questionable. And if you're the kind of person, and most of us are, that worries what's going to happen to you when you pass into the next realm, if you will, you kind of like some reassurance that what you did was right, or if it wasn't quite right, how you could have done it different or better. You want to find out what you do the next time, or to make up for the last time, depending on your faith, whatever it is. So chaplains for police officers are different than chaplains or priests, men of the cloth, women of the cloth, for everybody else, if you will. I guess military chaplains probably come closest. Number one is police chaplains. They've got to serve all different faiths. And then number two, they've got to understand why you do what you do and the circumstances under which you do it so that they can offer their advice or their guidance appropriately. It's really not, if you find a chaplain who says under no circumstances should you ever execute an act of violence or take a life, they're probably not well suited to be a police chaplain or a military chaplain because, well, we might have to, and that's what we got to do to go home and do our jobs. So it takes, I think, a unique kind of person, and we'll talk to Reverend Rufato about that as well. I have a feeling with a 16-year, like I said, I'm remembering 16 years. It might have been a little bit longer. His career as a police officer near a major metropolitan area, in a major metropolitan area, I have a feeling he understands pretty well what police officers need from men in the chaplaincy or women in the chaplaincy. A lot of us seem to think that chaplains are only there for, when there's a line of duty death, just going to hold the surviving family by surviving spouse's hand. And that's, lead the prayers at the FOP meetings, give the blessing at the end of it. A lot of us tend to think that's all they do, and it's a far cry from that. Like I said, there's the line of duty stress that we often need assistance with or help in dealing with, and we don't think sometimes about the chaplain. We hate to think about the department psychological services. Yeah, you go see them, and the next thing you know, you're flagged and you can't work or something. The chaplain might be, and I don't know what their responsibilities are as far as reporting to command. I would think that from the concept of sin, a police chaplain can know not just you, but also your spouse. And if work is causing you relationship issues, they might be able to help not only you, but your spouse deal with some of those. As I mentioned, we face some moral challenges when we do our job. I know when I was a much younger police officer, there was a time I had an incident on the street, and the way the circumstances worked out, my shift was over and all the paperwork was done, and the gentleman that had assaulted me was in the hospital and was being held. He was being kept overnight. And, I had to wonder what kind of person was I that I didn't feel bad. I had just done what I had to do. It was time. I had to go home. I wasn't going to let him keep me from going home. The fight ensued, and he was in the hospital and was being held. I got treated and was released and did all my paperwork, and everything was good. But what did it say about me that I felt no guilt about that, about hurting another human being? So sometimes I think we face some moral dilemmas in the process of doing our job, and we'll talk about that as well. We're going to talk about Peace Officer Ministries, which Reverend Rufato is the executive director for. I think they're a little bit unique from other chaplain organizations. We're going to talk to him about the organization and how it serves peace officers particularly, and their online presence, their live and in-person presence, the different things that they do and have done. We're going to talk to them about their own special Bible that they have. I'm going to pull my copy off the shelf while I talk about this, called God's Word for Peace Officers. It's the tactical edition. And it has sections that it has introductions, and then it has specific bits of advice, pieces of translation, the whole thing of the Bible, specific to law enforcement. And we are definitely weird, different, and unique, so we need to have that kind of thing. I'm not shy about being a Christian. I'm not of a particular flavor of Christianity. I agree with some things in various religious faiths. I disagree with other things, but I'm of the firm belief that everybody has their own right to their own religious beliefs, and quite frankly, your religious beliefs aren't my business, and my religious beliefs aren't your business, and as long as you're okay with God, then God's okay with you, then it's not my business. However, if you're a police officer and you're a Christian, then the Bible is one of the books that you have to live your life in accordance with, the teachings that are therein. And they need a little bit of a correct translation, I guess I should say, for law enforcement. And the Peace Officer Ministries Bible, God's Word for Peace Officers, the Tactical Edition, does exactly that. And we'll talk to Reverend Rufato about how it came about, what version of the Bible they started with, and the additions and changes and translations and so forth. We're going to get some guidance from Reverend Rufato on how important it is for today's warriors, and make no mistake, police officers are warriors, to have a non-traditional understanding of the moral guidance offered by holy texts. You know, it is unique, as we've said, so we'll get his guidance on that. Let's see. We're going to talk about whether or not police chaplains need to be ordained. I've heard some say yes. I've heard some say no. And if so, why? If not, why not? We'll get his input on that. We should be coming up on our break relatively soon. Reverend Rufato should be joining us during the break. And we'll be glad to have him with us for the entire show. Please remember you can call in. The number is 6519, or you can email me, frankborelli@officer.com. Again, thanks to legear.com for sponsoring today's show. Stay with us, and we will be back after this break.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. In May of 2011, a small brown-eyed boy proudly showed off the law enforcement buttons he had pinned to his shirt in honor of his dad, an officer killed in the line of duty 6 years ago. Then the reality set in. This boy was just a few days away from his sixth birthday. He never got the chance to meet his dad, nor did thousands of children whose parents' names are forever etched into the living memorial in Judiciary Square. Join us in 2012 as we launch Officer World Expo in Washington, D.C. in our effort to reduce the intolerably large number of officers who didn't get to go home to their families. OfficerWorldExpo.com, because some records aren't meant to be broken.
Thursday nights, get ready for the Read My Lips Tips for Success radio show with your host, Linnea Millett, at 11, 10 Central on TogiNet.com. What are the Read My Lips Tips for Success? Well, it's spelled out like this. R, realize it is possible. E, embrace all relationships. A, advance through adversity. D, develop your significance. M, manage your health and wealth. Y, yield to your natural abilities. L, listen to your heart. I, invest in yourself. P, persist by taking small steps. And S, serve others. Each week on the show, you'll find a safe haven whereby tips, insights, and strategies are shared by Linnea and her guests. Go to Linnea's website, readmylipstips.com. Then join us Thursday nights at 11, 10 p.m. Central, for the Read My Lips Tips for Success radio show with your host, Linnea Millett, on toginet.com.
Welcome back to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by editor-in-chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
Good day again, and welcome back to Officer Radio on Officer.com. Another special thanks sent out to LEGear.com for sponsoring the show today. As we come back from break, we're going to recognize that you guys, man, let me get my act together here. This is bad. I'm all nervous because of our guest. Before I get to my guest, you can call in if you'd like. 866-404-6519 is the number, or send me emails, frankborelli@officer.com, if you have any questions or comments for our guest today. I have Reverend Frank Raffato on the line with me, and yes, talking to a man of the cloth does make me nervous because I've been such a sinner all my life. How are you doing today there, Reverend?
Hey, listen, I'm doing well, and listen, you're in good company. I'm a sinner right with you, brother.
You know, I apologize to the listeners earlier because I anticipate this is going to get interesting, me calling you Frank and you calling me Frank. So if I refer to you as Reverend, it's just so I don't get confused who the heck I'm talking to. Does that make any sense at all?
I think I'm with you.
Okay. All right. So earlier today, I sent you some talking points, and I don't know if you had a chance to listen to the opening of the show. I'd like to start out talking about why policemen need unique chaplain services. What makes the law enforcement profession different that we need chaplains who know us specifically?
Well, there's a couple of things on that. First of all, I would say, you know, for people outside of the law enforcement community and culture, you kind of look at the police and think, hey, we call them for help. They don't need any help. Right? And so I think we as peace officers, and I don't know if you let people know, I am retired from being a peace officer, so I've experienced it. We can have that sort of same mindset. Hey, I'm the one who heads towards the gunfire, towards the problem. What help do I need? And then, you kind of get through your career and it grinds on you a little bit. And it grinds on your soul. You get a little calloused on some things. And so there's one aspect, I think, to kind of keep you balanced, if you will.
You mean to tell me you think that the police profession might make people cynical and hard-hearted?
Well, I think that maybe you could make a case that people might have that proclivity ahead of time. But boy, law enforcement can accelerate that.
Okay. Earlier, I did mention that you had been a police officer in a major metropolitan area. I thought I remembered 16 years. Was I right, or was it more?
Just right around there. Yep.
Okay. And you started out in patrol like everybody does, but you ended up as a homicide investigator, correct?
Yes. In fact, and even on the way there, I did child abuse, pedophile cases, and that kind of stuff. So I've gotten to see the darkest recesses of human depravity, if you will.
You're better than I am. Thank God, I worked little agencies all my life, and you know the kind of places I worked. We worked in roughly the same area, but the one thing I swore I would never do would be any kind of child abuse investigations because, I'm quite proud to say I marked 30 years this year in law enforcement, and I've had one excessive force complaint filed that was investigated and came back unfounded. I had not done anything wrong. If I had done child abuse investigations, I'd be in jail for murder. There ain't a doubt in my mind. I couldn't.
As you know, with the jurisdiction I worked in, we were hammered all the time in the paper and all that. And how we don't have no restraint and that kind of thing. And of course, all the pedophiles I've sat across in an interrogation room, don't tell me I don't have restraint. Don't tell me that the guys and the gals doing this job don't have restraint,
Yeah, so true. You have to.
That goes to my second point about the need for it. I do have a personal experience that I sort of relay to people, and I've got permission to talk about this. My brother also was on my agency, was involved in a shooting. Very clean shoot. He walked in on a robbery. And did everything according to training. I mean, it was textbook. Did a great job, I got to say. And he went through a bout of just really dealing with some anger issues and some PTSD stuff afterwards. And really it was tough both for my family, even though I come from a law enforcement family, how do you kind of talk to him about it? How did he talk to us? And he would have liked to have had some, in fact, we had had some sort of philosophical / theological discussions about our profession before that even happened with him. And so it would have been nice to have had better chaplain services to be there for us during that and for him. I'm happy to report he's on the good side of it now. But it would have been nice to have somebody kind of walk through with that.
Well, do you think that, and I mentioned earlier, when you need somebody to be your policeman, you kind of don't want to go to psych services because you worry what's going to get back to your chain of command and how it's going to reflect you in your file and stuff. Do you think it's the same concern with people just don't know what they can talk about, that the services are there, or what's, you know, do you think they have the same working concern?
Well, I think that that's one of the advantages of having a chaplain. I know one of your things you put in the email to me was asking about the ordination thing, and I think I'll kind of jump to that a little bit. I prefer that, not just because I've gone through 4 years of graduate school and I'm ordained and everybody else should be, but because doing that and being recognized by a standing organization, you do have a legal, there is privilege. So if an officer is talking to me about something, I mean, unless it's something, you know, that's reportable, you're going to hurt yourself or someone else, child abuse kind of things like that, it is privileged. And I don't, as a chaplain, I work for, you know, the big guy. I don't work, even though I'm at the bequest of the chief or the sheriff or whomever the agency's running the agency, I ultimately have a bigger power to answer to, and I'm not going to give up that privilege.
Or that responsibility.
That's right.
Well, but let me ask you something. Is that the same, if I go to my parish priest and I'm talking to him, is that the same outlook or the same requirements for my past, not the professional or that? I happen to have been raised Episcopalian, and now I'm married to a Presbyterian young lady. And my first wife was Methodist. I went to a Catholic school for 3 years and a Baptist school for 3 years.
you are kind of a gumbo suit there, aren't you?
You know, I firmly believe there's a God, and he's okay with me because I'm not burning in hell yet. And he certainly has the ability to put me there when he gets tired of me being here. So, you know, when I go to the local parish priest and I'm talking to him about my problems that I'm having with my worker on the street, does he have the same protections and confidentiality capabilities that you have?
He does. The thing, though, to go into your run-of-the-mill pastor or priest who has that privilege that's different from a chaplain is that some of those guys, although they'll be able to give you some good general advice and counsel and be there for you, and a lot of them do a great job. A guy who's purposed himself to be a law enforcement chaplain like I have, and some of that comes out of because I carry around the retired badge and all that, is because the chaplain is going to be a little more aware of the culture and what you're coming out of in terms of being that law enforcement guy, the way you think. I mean, we kind of had a little chuckle about the cynicalness and that kind of thing, but he's going to have an understanding of that as you come to talk to him.
Right. But, okay, well, that's cool. I understand that. Then let me ask you this. We've determined that law enforcement does need specialized chaplain services. Obviously, some chaplains are the police. I know a chaplain I've long been acquainted with, Chaplain Don Staten. I don't know if he's a reverend or minister. Or I don't even know what faith he belongs to, down in Virginia Beach. He was a police officer with the Virginia State Police when he became a chaplain. You obviously have a law enforcement background like we discussed. Is it important for police chaplains to have done the work if they're really going to be good as a chaplain, or do you think it not make that much of a difference?
I think it does make a difference. However, it is not necessarily a roadblock to a guy.
All right, folks, we're having a few technical issues at the moment. I'm not sure whether or not Reverend Rufato's answered my question. We're going to make a switch in a line. Bear with me for just a second. And we're back.
Frank, I was having some issues here. Connection. Can you hear me clearly now, sir? Hello? We appear to still be having some connections. We've lost Reverend Rufato. Let me see what was going on with our producer. Bear with us, folks. This is an extremely interesting conversation about police chaplaincy and the requirements and the strengths that we have by having services direct from a chaplain, especially someone who's already been in law enforcement like Frank has with better than 16 years. And, you know, the man has my admiration. Number one, I've actually in the past been approached and asked to become a chaplain. It wasn't a service that I felt I could really adequately provide. I didn't feel that my faith was strong enough. And I admire those who have that strength of faith, not only for themselves, but for other people. I understand we've got Reverend Rufato back. You with us, Frank?
I am.
Sorry for that. I've been facing connection issues here at home, and my provider, I actually work from my home office, and I was doing the show, and my home provider decided today was the day that they would lay a new connection line for me, and they got it in about 10 minutes to 1, and then everything had to be reassigned and reapportioned and blah, blah, blah. So since my phone and my internet and everything runs through that, that's what I've been dealing with as it comes back. And now my show producer is giving me my cutoff for our next break, which is 30 seconds away. So, sir, I'm going to ask you to hang on with me. I apologize for the technical difficulties. When we come back, let's talk some about the challenges we face doing our job that you all can help us with, more specifically the chaplains can. And then let's talk about Peace Officer Ministries and what it's all about. If you don't mind, and if we can hang together, we'll be here talking more about police chaplaincy. Thank you for being with us and putting up with our technological issues. We'll be back in just a moment.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these. Attention parents and teachers. Here is a series of alarming yet true facts about the current state of teaching reading in the United States. The federal government has spent close to $500 billion to improve reading ability, and yet we still have over 8 million students who cannot read on grade level. 440,000 students who have a total reading vocabulary of 50 words or less. And a national dropout rate of one new student every 26 seconds. Sadly, one of these could be yours. Fortunately, it's not too late to help. Introducing The Reading Show with Dr. Joe. A fast-paced, highly informative, easy-to-listen-to show led by nationally recognized reading authority, Dr. Joe Lakovich. For more on Joe on the show, check out his website, failurefreeonline.com. Listen in this week to learn amazingly simple ways to turn this problem around. The Reading Show with Dr. Joe, with your host, Dr. Joe Lakovich, Fridays at 10 a.m. Central on toginet.com.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. Join thousands of other law enforcement professionals attending Police Week, May 12th through the 17th, 2012, in Washington, D.C. The new Officer World Expo at Police Week will offer training, conference sessions, and networking opportunities to better equip those who protect others. Visit OfficerWorldExpo.com because some records aren't meant to be broken.
Welcome back to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by Editor-in-Chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
All right, folks, welcome back. Bear with us through the trials and tribulations of the technological age. If you have a comment you'd like to call in, the number is 866-404-6519. Today's show is sponsored by legear.com. They provide gear that makes life easier and helps get the job done, so check them out online, legear.com. We still have the very patient and understanding Reverend Frank Raffato with us. Frank, thanks for hanging in here. I really greatly appreciate it.
Well, it's my pleasure to be here, man.
All right. Let's. Before we went to break, we were talking about the protections, if you will, of being able to talk to a police chaplain and how the information doesn't necessarily get handed up the chain of your command, and that those same protections apply to your local parish priest. Which takes me to this conversation. I'd like to talk to you about Peace Officer Ministries, which you're the executive director for. How did it come about, and what do you all do specifically?
Well, if you'll indulge me a little bit, I'll take a little step back. When I decided to go to seminary and knew I was that my career after policing was going to be into ministry, I knew that I wanted to do something with law enforcement. What exactly, I wasn't sure, so I just figured, well, I figured he'll show me what will happen, if anything. Well, one of the summer sessions, I was staying at the seminary to take some classes during the summer, and Peace Officer Ministries was there giving a seminar. And I met the founder and the then executive director, and we hit it off right off the bat. He's also a former peace officer turned pastor. Next thing you know, he and I were working together. I ended up in Nicaragua doing some training. American Samoa after the tsunami in 2009, specifically going to help out law enforcement guys and gals doing their jobs in those places. And next thing you know, he's a few years older than I am. He turned to me and said, "Hey, listen, I think you need to take the ball on this." And so there was the answer. So that's sort of that's the thumbnail sketch of how I ended up with Peace Officer Ministries. And so it's been a great blessing for me because, like I said, I knew that I wanted to give back to the law enforcement community. And so that's what
we try to do. Well, Peace Officer Ministries, I mean, obviously you direct your services to anybody who wears a uniform and does law enforcement, but is it a real brick-and-mortar parish, if you will? Is it a virtual parish? How's the structure? How do people get to you?
Number one, we do have our website, which people can kind of contact us. It's not brick and mortar, really. We try to be a little more nimble than that. I try to go wherever I'm invited or wherever I'm welcome. So if stuff has hit the fan and I've got a contact in an area and I can make it, I do. Hey, can I come out and be of assistance, as we've done in many cases. A few years ago, the ones I already mentioned, among others, such as Peace Officer Ministries, has been to Virginia Tech for the first shooting. Actually, Steve Lee, who is the founder, he was at Columbine for that event, which changed the shape of law enforcement.
Didn't he?
9/11, and then even as I was starting with Peace Officer Ministries, went down to Alabama. There was a shooting down there where a sheriff's deputy's wife and child got killed by the bad guy, and so we went down there to kind of help out with that. And again, it's I will go. It sounds a little trite, a little cliche, but I have Bible, will travel,
unique special Bible, in fact.
That is true. We have what's called God's Word for Peace Officers, Tactical Edition Bible.
Now, I know that you're not the guy who was behind the translations and stuff, and I want to thank you publicly. Just so everybody knows, I got my first copy of God's Word for Peace Officers direct from Reverend Raffato. Like I said, we had earlier in the show, we had attended the retirement party of a brother police officer of ours, and that was, to my knowledge, the first time I ever met Reverend Raffato, and we hit it off well. We're both, I don't want to insult a man of the cloth, but he used to be a cop. He's just as sick and twisted as the rest of us, and has a sense of humor that can some might consider a little distasteful, but not brother cops. And you gave me a copy of God's Word for Police Officers then, and I've reviewed it in the past on officer.com. You know, like I said, I've been through all these different religions, and, you know, the Bible has so many different variations and different interpretations. I think this is really unique and valuable for police officers with the introduction and the different translations and how different pieces of it apply to parts of our job.
That's right.
That was the original intent of it.
Well, that is. When what you're describing there is that initial section written by Steve Lee, who's, again, a former peace officer, so he knows. It's like we say when we meet guys, you know, I know what you know, what I know, what you know, kind of thing. And so it's with that understanding that we're able to kind of talk about, and even for me, for my story, if you will, of how it spoke to me, and I'm not talking in any kind of weird in tongues kind of way, but kind of helped guide me and keep me balanced as I dealt with pedophiles and having to hug a mom in a courthouse because her son had been murdered and they found the bad guy not guilty because there's people in the jurisdiction who just don't like the police, so they weren't going to vote guilty anyway. You know, those kinds of things. You know, stuff that would, you know, without some kind of balance, could really wreak havoc on you, I think.
Hey, listen, Reverend, you're a Lutheran, is that correct?
That's correct.
But police chaplains have to serve virtually every flavor of religion that any police officer out there could come from, to include Jewish, Muslim, whatever else. How does that get addressed when I look at this Bible, and this is real easy if it's a flavor of Christianity, but what if it's not? How do you deal with that?
Well, there's a couple things that go on. First of all, I let guys know right up front who I am, what I'm about, and yes, I'm Christian. You know, for me, Jesus is the ultimate peace officer who took on the ultimate bad guy, Satan, on the cross for us. He took the bullet we deserve, and now is our protection. So that's kind of my running theme, you know, if you will. But I do understand that there are guys who are other faith or of no faith. I mean, there are a few guys I work with that at best, they were agnostic. So one thing, like I said, I let guys know, because I think peace officers have more respect if you let them know where you stand, even if they disagree with you. Number
two, don't do snake oil salesmen very well.
Right. And number two, I'm not going to walk up, you know, like when you and I met. You know, I'm not going to walk up to you and go, oh, hey, Frank, nice to meet you. I'm Frank. Do you know Jesus? You know, I'm not going to do that. You know, I'm going to get to know you. Where are you at? What's going on with you? You know, what kind of relationship can we build? And then when an appropriate time comes, yeah, I'm going to talk about that because I think it's important. But if I didn't care the snot about you, I would never talk about it with you. So it's just a little bit of a fine line. There's a little nuance to it, and I just find that I just got to be who I am authentically, try not to have any airs about who I am, and I don't do any kind of personal judgment of people. God's got that job. I'm just a messenger. I'm just a help.
Right. Now, let me ask you something, though. If I come to you and I've been shooting on the street and I'm Jewish, is there a rabbi you can refer me to for spiritual help, or do you, in your educational background, because you're the reverend, I'm not, you got the 4 years of schooling, I don't. It's how do you deal with that? How do you refer? How do you handle? What's the deal?
Well, if the guy lets me know, hey, I'm Jewish, and again, he knows where I'm coming from, I'm going to find out from him. Are you willing to sit with me and talk? I mean, do you want to talk with me? And there's a few guys that are, I probably had more dealings with people who are sort of agnostic than I have had of other sort of religions with this. And usually if I've got some kind of relationship with the person, they're willing to at least start down the road. And if we get to a place where they've got a veer to the left and I got a veer to the right, or however you want to put that, you know, at a crossroad, I will try to get them hooked up with somebody that's going to be more with them. And we do have a network sort of that we've tried to cultivate,
right.
And I still try to build, you know, through things like this. And that's why I so appreciate being with you on this, because. You know, guys need to know there's lots of people out here that want to be of help.
You know, you're absolutely right, and I think it's a good time to mention for our listeners, Reverend Rufato is going to be writing monthly columns for us for chaplaincy. As a matter of fact, I have the first one here waiting to be edited. I'm going to tease Reverend here a little bit, and he had to send it to me twice because he was upset about the way one sentence was written. And I had to remind him that as an editor, it's kind of my job to clean that stuff up. But I'm really glad to have you on the team, and I'm glad to have you providing those columns and that guidance and advice and being able to reach out to the community in that way. I think it's fantastic.
Well, you know, I appreciate it. You're giving me opportunity to live out what I think is the purpose for which I'm here. You know, I really do. It's not just talk. It's not just a byline for us. We want to serve those who protect and serve us. It's surely something we want to do.
Well, and I got to tell you, you know, you talk about, you know, if you get to the crossroads and somebody's going to turn right and you turn left, it's been a rare occasion for me that I felt the need to pick up a phone and call someone and say, hey, I need help with what's going on in my heart, in my head, in my soul, whatever. But I can only imagine if I'm on the street and I'm in fear for my life, or I think I'm dying, or whatever. You know, I kind of view any man of the cloth of any religious faith as probably a little bit closer to God than I am. God and I have a great relationship. As I said, if that wasn't true, I wouldn't be here. I'd be burning in hell because he can do that anytime he wants. But Lord knows if I need some kind of religious comfort, I'll take it from anybody who's a holy man. It, you know, unless they're worshiping the devil and they call that holy. I'll be glad to have from anybody. So I would imagine that you have the same kind of relationship for the most part with folks that come to you.
Well, yes, for the ones that do come. Now, I think I should say that I think the biggest hurdle for guys wanting to do chaplaincy, whether they've been in the police before or not, is the trust factor with officers. And you know what that is. We're kind of trained paranoid. You don't trust anybody. You know, and so you have to kind of work through that and get to a place where a guy can trust you to be able to talk to you. And so for the officers that are listening to this, I want to encourage you guys, you know, give your chaplain a chance. You know, listen to him a little bit. Yeah, if he was never the police before, he might say or do something a little hinky, but you're smart enough to kind of wade through that. He really wants to be a help, you know, and so don't be afraid to use it. It doesn't make you less than competent or less than powerful or however you want to put that to use somebody as a resource. You know, I tell guys, you wouldn't go out on the street without your vest on. I don't believe you should go out on the street without having your mind, your emotions, and, yes, your spiritual life kind of balanced.
Hey, we're going to come up on a break. When we come back, I want to talk about that, though. You couldn't be more right, but you and I both remember a time when people were afraid to go on the street with their vest on for fear of being called scaredy cats or wimps or something. But we'll talk about that when we come back from the break. We're with Reverend Frank Raffato talking about police chaplains. Thank you for being with us. We'll be back after these messages to continue our conversation. Stay safe for those 2 seconds.
Want to get your voice heard about law enforcement issues? This is your show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com. And we'll be back with more right after these.
This is Frank Borelli, editor for Officer.com. 152. The number of law enforcement fatalities in 2010. The numbers are too high. Any line of duty death is unacceptable. Join us in Washington, D.C. next year during National Police Week at the first ever Officer World Expo as we combine a unique training opportunity with the largest police memorial in the United States. Visit OfficerWorldExpo.com for details and to join the mailing list, Officer World Expo, because some records aren't meant to be broken.
Are you the kind of parent who just wants their kids to live the life of their dreams? Well, grab your kids and join How to Raise a Millionaire Radio with Ann Morgan James and Jack James. It's a lively interview and call-in show, Thursday, 6 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. This dynamic mother and son team are on a mission. They want to empower kids to dream big and go after those dreams with gusto. They want to fill the world with kid entrepreneurs. Are your kids ready for success? Don't miss their fun antics, lively guests, and discussions. For more on Ann and Jack and their show, check out their website, howtoraiseamillionaire.com. Then join the conversation of lively interviews and call-ins, and let's give our kids the tools and encouragements they need to build a future they can bank on, no matter what the economy throws their way. It's How to Raise a Millionaire Radio with Ann Morgan James and Jack James, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Central on the Rockstar Radio Network. Welcome back to Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by Editor-in-Chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Now, let's get back to the show. It's Officer Radio on Officer.com.
All right, folks, welcome back. I want to thank you for putting up with the technical challenges that I've had today, and I definitely want to thank our guest, Reverend Frank Rufato, for listening and putting up with those technical challenges today. We're talking about police chaplains and the strengths, weaknesses, challenges, misunderstandings that we law enforcement officers tend to have when we look at them. If you have any comments in this last segment, feel free to call in, 866-404-6519. I think if anybody dials in at this point, I owe somebody else dinner because I bet nobody would. Or you can send me an email, frankborelli@officer.com. So, Reverend, when we left, we were talking about the fear some people had that if they went to talk to a chaplain, they'd be viewed as weak or not competent or whatever. We talked about vests. When you go on the street today, if you put on a uniform and you don't put on a vest, you're kind of viewed as an idiot. But you and I both were around at a time, or at least I was. I think you were around just a little bit before me. When if you put on a vest to go on the street, some people actually laughed at you. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was right. That was early on. You're dating us a little bit. But, yes, I couldn't imagine doing my career without having worn a vest. But you're right. There was a time. A vest, you need a vest for. Come on. You were 10 feet tall and bulletproof, right?
Yeah. Well, it's one riot, one cop. You didn't have to have a vest. Nobody was going to hurt you. It was respect for law enforcement officers made it such that there was never a threat, right?
Right. One of my first experiences on the street, I cut loose on my own. I get out and I tell a couple of guys, hey, I need you to stand over there. And they looked right at me and cursed me out. And I looked at myself. I literally looked at myself like, did I put my uniform on? And so I would encourage guys through all this that, hey, this is also a resource for you. View it as a resource. It's not about weakness. It's not about, let me put it this way. We're like a backup. When I went through training with my training officer, we'd listen to the radio, and he would stop. He'd look at me and goes, where's John 6 at? Or whoever the beat car was, the guy in the next beat over. And I said, well, I think he's on a track side. He goes, you better know. Don't think. You need to know because you need to start heading that way already. You need to be his backup. And that's what, as a chaplain, I want to do. And when I provide training for other chaplains and for peace officers, that's sort of the mindset we've got. Hey, we're already heading in your direction because you need backup, and that's okay.
But do you think, and I'm kind of asking you to be a mind reader here, but based on your experience, and I started this whole show, I said, I don't think cops get chaplains. I don't think we understand everything that chaplains do. A lot of cops just view the chaplain as the guy that shows up to hold the surviving spouse's hand when the cop gets killed in the line of duty or if a cop loses a family member or whatever. And we don't really tend to view the spirit, chaplains as providing that spiritual support throughout a career. Do you think that's still true today, or are you making a dent in people and getting through to them, or what?
I see a little bit of a dent, and then I still see the hardness on the other side of it. And part of it has to do with the culture of a particular department. On one hand, you've got like chaplains in the military. Well, if you're going to be a chaplain in the military, everybody goes through the same training, the same thing. You're given a rank. You're part of the unit. Police departments, sheriff's departments, corrections, it's kind of at the whim of the department head. So if you've got a guy who decides that he's just not fooling with that, he's not going to fool with it, and it's not going to be available for guys. If you've got a guy who's maybe a guy of faith or what however you want to describe that, he's going to have that and make that available. And so part of my thing is to try to educate people that even if you're not a person of strong, devout faith, that this is still a resource for you.
I said this earlier, I admire what you do, and I'll tell you why. My FOP lodge was without a chaplain for quite some time. And the FOP lodge president came to me, and I'm not talking about Rodney, my own municipal lodge, and said, Frank, we need a chaplain. Would you consider being the chaplain until we can find a real chaplain? And essentially all he wanted was somebody to call if there was an emergency and somebody to open the meetings with prayers and close them with a blessing. And I'm like, no, I'm really honored, but I'm not going to do that. And he said, well, why not? I said, because my faith's barely strong enough for me. It's not strong enough for me to support other people. And for you to do what you do, your faith has to be so strong that I can't shake it. And my 750,000 other brother cops can't shake it. And, dude, I can't tell you how much you all get more respect from me than I think you'd ever realize.
Well, I will say this. I think that it's unfortunate a lot of departments, that's what they do. They're figureheads. You know, they you might come in and get a chance. I remember for me even, at good old PG County, I think the chaplain, I saw him once during the academy, and then I saw him at graduation, I think, when we got out of the academy. And I think that was it. Maybe there for an award ceremony once or twice, but that's it. And I know for me, as I work even with local departments, you know, I do this nationally and even internationally, as I've described. You know, I still work with my local department, the town I'm living in, and I try to be seen regularly with guys. And, you know, I don't know that my faith is any stronger than anybody else's or what have you, but I do get a sense of purpose in this, and that I want guys and gals who do this job to know that they're God's servant for our good, and that, you know, despite a culture that kind of says, well, the police are kind of a necessary evil. No, I'm here to tell you, you're a necessary good, not a necessary evil kind of thing.
And it's one of the things that you said to me when we first met, that you felt a lot of cops didn't appreciate or really understand, at least from the religious perspective, their position, that they're there as a force for good, not kind of as a neutral mitigating force.
Right, right. I firmly believe that. And, you know, and that may be for some people, if they want to have a good debate over a brew somewhere, you know, maybe that's a philosophical category for them or something. But I firmly believe that. That's why I'm in this, if you will.
You know, there's actually stereotypes that go along with being a chaplain as well. I'm sure you get people who make assumptions about you that aren't true because they don't know anything about you except that you're a police chaplain, so they just assume things. And the reason I say that is because you went, I'm sitting here thinking, did you just say have a brew? You want to sit down and have it? Really? Priest drink?
Yeah.
What the heck? I mean, you're not Catholic. Well, you're not tipping wine. What's going on?
Well, listen, there may be some who don't do that, and I do in moderation, and I you know, I'm not going to fault a brother that doesn't want to. But I guess what I'm getting at, there is a little bit of a stereotype, just as there are stereotypes for police officers. And I know until I'm able to tell a guy, oh, by the way, I'm retired as a peace officer, and we start to share a couple war stories, I do get a little arm's length from guys because they'll kind of put their, metaphorically speaking, put their hand out and kind of keep you at arm's length.
Right.
Because, yeah, you're going to be a killjoy. You're no fun. You're just here to remind me, you know, I'm a sinner, you know, and I'm here to tell you I am too. I just happen to be one that has a message for you, you know?
And, you know, sometimes I think we assume, we being non-chaplains, regular everyday officers, if you will, the other guys, we kind of assume that some of the stuff we consider to be fun, we might be judged for by those of you who are men of the cloth. I mean, oh my God, you start wondering, and like I said at the beginning of the show, you get nervous, you talk to somebody. We got, you know, am I allowed? What's he think about drinking a beer? What if I do have one too many? Is this going to get reported? What, you know, is he going to report? And it's not even, is he going to report me to my chief? Is he going to report me to God? Am I going to, you know, oh my, you can't screw up in front of a priest. And a lot of people don't make a difference between a priest, a reverend, a minister, whatever.
Right.
Well, I couldn't tell you the difference, quite honestly, except that I know priests who are ordained, but I know reverends who are ordained as well, aren't they?
Yes, yes, and I am too. I was, you know, went through a whole ceremony and all that kind of stuff. You know, almost like graduating from the academy again, if you will. But I, you know, I would say that that's why I say to officers, you know, give the chaplain a chance. He's most of them are regular guys. You know, and you may have some guys that fall one way or the other a little bit on some of those issues, as regular people do, if you will. You know, there's a couple things. I mean, you know, I got three daughters, and they didn't come here because my wife and I visited the Cabbage Patch. You know what I mean? So I know about life.
Okay.
You know, not to be crass. I'm not trying to be crass or anything. It's just that, hey, you know, we're out here living life, and I just like I think police officers have a call to serve and protect people, to be the force of good in our culture and our society. I have a sense that I have a call, and part of this call is to serve the guys and gals who do this job, who get the calluses on their souls because of the crap that they see and that they have to deal with.
Well, I, for one, am glad folks like you are out there. You know, the other, like I said, I've met one other police chaplain who was actually really a police officer before he became a chaplain. The other chaplains I've dealt with were all men of the cloth who decided that they wanted to serve police officers because of this extra special need that we have. Quite honestly, they come across to me as trying to reform me into being a better person when I think I'm pretty okay anyway, you know?
Right.
But listen, we're coming down to the end of the show. Officer Ministries has a website, does it not?
Yes, peaceofficerministries.org. And we're also on Facebook. Look for Peace Officer Ministries on Facebook. We kind of try to keep some things up to date on that as well.
Okay, and I am a fan on Facebook. You guys put some excellent stuff there. peaceofficerministries.org is the website. Now, we're under our two-minute mark. Tell me, if somebody wants to make a donation to receive a copy of God's Word for Peace Officers, can they do that on the website?
The best way to do it is on the website. If you feel, you know, not real secure about doing it, it is a secure site, but if you're feeling a little hinky about that, we got numbers of ways to contact us on the website. You can email us or phone us and that kind of thing, and we can kind of walk you through that. But we certainly do need all the help we can get so we can protect and serve folks, you know what I mean?
Okay. So, now, I know that it's not a sale, it is a donation, but what are you looking for a copy of God's Word?
Well, we'd like a donation of $20 for one Bible, and what that does is if I'm able to sell one, and it is in a sale, but if I do have somebody who purchases one, it does allow me to have room to give another one free to somebody who needs it for free. So, for instance, in the line of duty death or those kinds of things that we do. And it also helps me with other parts of the mission and ministry. And just to let people know, I don't get a paycheck for this. My wife does administrative work, and she gets a very small one, but I take no pay for this. This is something I do as a passion and a desire to do it. So
that men of the cloth have bills, too. Frank, thank you very much for being with us today. We're going to close the show. For our listeners, peaceofficerministries.org is the website. God's Word for Peace Officers, the Tactical Edition, excellent version of the Bible with good messages in there for law enforcement. We'd like to thank Reverend Frank Raffato for being with us, for his work in law enforcement, and for his work as a chaplain. Thank you to our listeners for being with us. We will be here next week talking about active shooters and what you need to know to deal with them. Until then, stay safe. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for being a part of Officer Radio, powered by the worldwide resources of Officer.com and hosted by Editor-in-Chief of Officer.com, 30-year law enforcement veteran Frank Borelli. Each week, Officer Radio